Hi, good evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome and the FibroDoctor.com blog. Thanks for joining me this evening on my first Tuesday of the month, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. Glad you're here. You can do me a favor if you could self-mute yourself. We've got a lot of background noise on the call tonight. We're evidently having some technical difficulties, and I apologize. I'm not real sure what's going on with the conference settings, but obviously they're not working. So if you would be just kind enough to self-mute your phone, otherwise we'll have to probably reschedule because there gets to be so much background noise. But if you've been listening to these calls the last few months, you know that tonight's a pretty important call. So if you would just be cooperative and self-mute your phone so that we can reduce any background noise. The last few months I've been talking about the five things that you need to do in order to have a chance to reverse your fibromyalgia, and we're going to talk about that tonight. And what I'd like to do is briefly kind of give a synopsis of the last four things that I've discussed, and we'll get into the fifth thing tonight. But really, if you look at the five top things that you need to do to reverse your fibromyalgia, it all starts with the way that fibromyalgia comes on. And it doesn't really matter whether you have recently been diagnosed with fibromyalgia or it's something that you've been plagued with for years. But the common catalyst for fibromyalgia to come on is either chronic or acute stress. And when you get under, the body gets under too much stress, stress that it can't handle, it has a problem with regulating your homeostatic mechanism. And that's really regulated by the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal, the HPA axis. When the HPA axis is under so much stress that it can't provide the normal homeostatic mechanisms that the body needs. I mean, the HPA axis is your little robot system. It regulates how often we breathe. It regulates our body temperature. It regulates how we digest food. It regulates how our neurotransmitters, our brain chemicals work. It regulates our ability to be able to pump blood through 60 miles of arteries and veins every minute. So this homeostatic mechanism of the computer, if it gets under too much stress, it starts to shut down. And the problem with that is then it can't regulate the normal, what are called autonomic or autopilot systems, things that you and I don't have to think about. Fortunately, our body will handle these things. I mean, you and I don't have to think about the dinner we just ate. We don't have to think about breaking down the nice, healthy meal I'm sure we all ate before this conversation. We have to think about breaking down the food stuff and then turning that food stuff into, turning those proteins into amino acids, and those amino acids then turn into hormones like tyrosine or T4, which is your thyroid hormone, or cortisol or DHEA or human growth hormone. But those hormones are made from the amino acids that we get from the protein foods that we eat. We don't have to regulate or think about regulating our blood sugar and insulin. These things are done for us. We don't have to think about regulating our temperature. When we go on a hot day, we break out in a sweat, and we do that to lower our body temperature so we don't get too hot. Fortunately, we don't have to think about these things. But if you go years and years under chronic stress until one day something comes along and is the straw that breaks the camel's back, and many of you know what that is because you can remember the day when you first had the symptoms of chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia or both, and you've never felt good again. And typically that's something chronic, but it can be something acute. It can be something that comes on all of a sudden, like you could get the flu from hell and it never goes away. Or you can have an operation. You could have a hysterectomy, which is a common thing that triggers fibromyalgia. You could have an illness that comes on and you never recover from that. And when you set this domino effect, what happens is you quickly start to deplete your body's ability to handle stress, such that you find that the longer you have the illness, the less likely you are to handle any type of stress, any kind of stimulation, whether that's loud noises, bright lights, being in crowds, trying to crunch numbers or balance your checkbook, any type of stressor is too much for you. And when you get to that point, you start to have so many different symptoms that show up that traditional medicine oftentimes will make you feel like you're a hypochondriac or you're lazy or crazy or you just have a Prozac deficiency, you're just depressed. And the reason that is because mainly, you know, with fibromyalgia, we don't have traditional blood tests that show whether you do or don't have fibromyalgia. It's kind of a diagnosis of elimination. However, there are some tests, as I discuss in my book and on my blog, the FibroDoctor.com blog. But it's really a process of elimination, then you're diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and then you go to the doctor, and he or she does all the, you know, looks at your blood and says, it all looks fine. And by the way, you look fine. So how could you have these 20 different symptoms? Can't sleep, can't use the bathroom, or use the bathroom all day. You have no energy. You're depressed, low libido, your hair's falling out, you have cold hands, cold feet, tingling in your hands and feet, get migraine headaches, chemical sensitivities, you know, just a long list of these things. And so the first thing you have to do to have an opportunity to reverse fibromyalgia is you've got to reset your homeostatic mechanism. You've got to correct the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal function. You've got to get your computer back on board so that it's able to regulate your autonomic system, your autopilot systems, so it can regulate your body temperature, regulate your digestive system, regulate your circadian rhythm or your sleep cycle. If you don't do that, you're never going to have the opportunity to truly reverse your fibromyalgia and really feel good again. It's just not going to happen. And that's the reason why, as I discussed, I believe, in our last teleconference, is that drugs are not the answer for fibromyalgia. They're really a dead end for fibromyalgia because drugs don't make you healthy. Drugs don't replenish your stress-coping savings account. And, in fact, drugs are more stressful. Now, there's a time and a place for drugs, and sometimes you don't have an option. You see, if we got some, if we can, yeah, thank you. So we've got... So we've got to make sure that we're careful that the drugs that we're using actually are working and not working against us. And that's one of the, you know, the topic that we talked about last time. But the first thing you've got to do is to replenish. You've got to replenish your stress coping savings account. And you do that by making sure you get the you take the stress off the hypothalamus. And the first way you do that is making sure you get deep restorative sleep each night. If you're not getting deep restorative sleep, you're never going to have the opportunity to reverse fibromyalgia, because if you're not getting deep restorative sleep, you're going to increase your inflammatory chemicals by 40%. You're going to have more pain, more fatigue, lower immune system, lower metabolism. You're going to affect the function of your thyroid, so you're going to have either low thyroid function or the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, where the body is attacking the thyroid. You're going to increase your risk for autoimmune disease. You're going to increase your risk for all sorts of illness, including cardiovascular problems, high blood pressure, stroke, and heart attack. You've got to get that deep restorative sleep, because it's when you get the deep restorative sleep that the body is able to repair itself and to make deposits into your stress coping savings account, so you have the chemicals you need to handle the daily stressors. When you go into deep sleep, you make human growth hormone, DHEA, you make more serotonin, you make dopamine, norepinephrine, the body's able to repair itself. The reason why people get restless leg syndrome is not because they've got a Mirapex deficiency. It's not because they have a Clonopin deficiency. The reason why they get restless leg syndrome is because they're not going into deep restorative sleep each night. Once you go into deep restorative sleep, you'll find that the restless leg syndrome normally will go away. Now, there's other things that can bring it on, magnesium deficiencies, and that's why my formula have high doses of magnesium, which is a natural muscle relaxer. An iron deficiency, if not thought, can also bring on
excessive sledge syndromes. But for the most part, again, no one has a drug deficiency. And that deep restorative sleep is the first thing. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to repair your stress coping glands, which are the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands allow you to be able to have adequate amounts of a very important stress chemical, stress hormone called cortisol. Without having high levels of cortisol, appropriate, because if it's too high, you're going to be anxious, have trouble with sleep. That's why we always test for that. But you want to have the optimal level of cortisol, because cortisol allows you to be able to have resiliency to stress. I find that patients, a lot of times, when I first get them to going into deep restorative sleep, doing it in with natural methods when possible, and that's usually always, although there is a time and a place for sleep medication, but it should be always the last thing, because it can bring on more symptoms and more side effects. But I find that when I start going into deep restorative sleep, often for the first time in years, I have a tendency to overdo it. And then I'll have a flare up there back in bed for 2 or 3 days. You know, if you hadn't slept in 5 or 6 years, you start sleeping again, like my patients do typically in a couple of weeks. You have a tendency to overdo it. So you paint the house, and you go grocery shopping, and you clean the car, and you do your bank account, you balance your checkbook that you hadn't done in 2 years. You clean that, you clean out all the drawers, the dresser drawers, and all the closets. You do that, and then the next day you're wiped out because you just don't have the stamina to stress. So you have to repair your stress coping glands, the adrenal glands, and you want to do that natural ways that I talk about in the book. Now the third thing that needs to be done is you've got to shore up any deficiencies, any nutritional deficiencies. By shoring up, making sure you don't have any nutritional deficiencies, then oftentimes you're going to correct any hormonal imbalance. What oftentimes happens is patients will go to their traditional doctor, a natural doctor, and that doctor will put them on hormone replacement therapy or some other supplement to help with hormone. The problem with that is that's treating way downstream. Do females need estradiol and progesterone? Well, sometimes they do, but it's not the first thing that I would look at with my fibro or CFS patients, because I know that if I can treat way upstream and correct the hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals, then the sex hormones tend to correct themselves, so I don't have to fool with that. There's potential side effects using estrogen and progesterone, although if you do natural bioidentical hormone replacement, you certainly reduce those risks. But if your ship crashes into the rocks upstream the river, and all the contents, all your cargo is spilling out of the hull, and going downstream, it makes more sense to patch up the hull and prevent the leak of the cargo out of this hole in the ship than it does to go down 2 miles downstream and sift it out of the water and pull it up on the bank of the water. It makes much more sense to correct the problem. And that's where vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids make all the difference in the world. And oftentimes patients have tried things like noni juice and B complex and a one a day and a sense of silver, and they try these different supplements and they get no relief. They see no results. They'll even read my book, they'll even go to my blog, they'll even listen to my conferences, and they'll go to Walmart and they'll buy skin and hair and nail formula, or who knows what they're getting. But anyway, the point is, don't do it in the right approach, you're gonna fail. Because it doesn't matter if you have good intentions, but you want to try to do it naturally. If you are driving, if our goal is to leave here in Birmingham, Alabama, drive down to the beach, there's a light issue, short route, light route, no emotion. Now there's a long route. Oftentimes people have good intent, but they have no road. So they're speeding off in the wrong direction at 90 miles an hour. They may be moving fast, but they're going nowhere towards their goal in a hurry. They're going actually opposite of their goal. And oftentimes people are taking handfuls, pill, you know, dozens of pill bottles, dozens of stuff, and it's not making any difference, it never will. The problem with that is people get discouraged and they think that vitamins, mineral, amino acids, essential fatty acids don't work, and that's not true. The truth is when you learn about how to use them the right way and the right dose, they do work, they have to work, and here's why. You've been led to believe that only drugs are needed to help you with health. And that's been brainwashed into all of us. That logic is so faulty because the body doesn't know what Lyrica is. The body treats Lyrica as a toxin, which it is. It doesn't know what Lyrica is. So it has to go through all different chemical breakdowns in the liver to get it out of the system. And in spite of that, you still get all the symptoms. You still get all the side effects associated with Lyrica. Many people do. Most people do. Weight gain, water retention, depression, faulty thinking, brain fog, start having problems with your vision. All those things that you see because it's a toxin. And you contrast that with taking something like 5-HT5-hydroxytryptamine, which is an amino acid that is in your food. Now, you're taking it in a high concentration, but the body knows what to do with that because it's the vitamins and minerals, amino acids, and essential fatty acids that actually make the hormone. No one has a Savella deficiency. Savella is a toxin. It is a man-made chemical that's designed to help your brain hang on to and use more norepinephrine and more serotonin. It doesn't make serotonin. What makes serotonin is 5-HT, B3, B2, vitamin C, and magnesium. Those are all the things you should be getting in your food, and often are not. The vitamins and minerals sound too simplistic, too easy. It can't work because it's just vitamins. I've done it one a day. I've done it during talk. So the problem with that route, by the way, is if you're taking something based on an RDA, outdated. RDA is recommended to be an allowance. It doesn't do anything in curvy curves. You have to use the right doses. All that, very high doses of the right vitamins and minerals make a difference to be able to make hormones like cortisol, like DHEA, like serotonin, norepinephrine, dopamine, and gamma-aminobutyric acid, and human growth hormones. Don't say that vitamins and minerals haven't got enough information to put it all together. Now, the fourth thing that has to happen is you have to look at the drugs that you're taking or that are being recommended to you, and you've got to ask, number one, is this drug helping? Is it really doing it? So many people go month after month, year after year, to different doctors and stuff with fibromyalgia. I mean, you know, it takes 7 years on average, 12 different doctors to get you. But you get past one doctor to the next. And because of that, each doctor adds another drug to the thing. Well, you know it, don't add another drug. That's what I see with the patients. I've been doing this 18 years, and my typical patients go 12 drugs to the program. By the time they finish working with me in a 6-month program, then they're down to one or two. But oftentimes they don't know how the doctor kind of know what the drug's for, but many times they don't know if the drug helping or not. And until you investigate that, two things you need to realize. One, okay, the drug may not be helping. But number two, the drug may actually be causing you to have more side effects that makes you take more drugs. A case in point, patient today, taking Mobid, which is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. Been on it for the past year. Now, interesting, in the last year, after starting Mobid to help with their pain, they started having problems with high blood pressure. Well, what do you think one of the side effects of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like Celebrex and Mobid and Advil and Arutis and Dapro, what do you think one of the side effects is? High blood pressure. Guess what else they've been prescribed since they had high blood pressure? A beta blocker. And a beta blocker They prescribed that about 3 months ago, and now because they're on the beta blocker, they're starting to experience a lot of fatigue, a lot of depression, and they're getting water retention in their ankles and feet, and so now the doctor is wanting to put them on a diuretic. Now, I can just carry this story further and further and further after doing this 18 years. The diuretic then increases her risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Before she develops the type 2 diabetes, she runs the risk of depleting magnesium, potassium, and then she runs the risk then of getting restless leg syndrome, so she gets diagnosed with restless leg syndrome, which is really only a magnesium and potassium deficiency from the diuretic. Now she gets on Merpex or Clonopin to help with the restless leg syndrome. And I could go on and on. So you've got to ask yourself, number one, if I'm taking Lyrica and I've been on it for years, is it doing anything? And then number two, could it be causing some of the side effects? And that goes for every medication that you're on. Now, I'm cautioning you, and I'm making sure I'm clear about this. Don't stop any of your medications that you're on unless you're working with your health care provider or you're working with me. But what I am saying is drugs don't make you healthy. They can be helpful. They can be life-saving. And there's a point sometimes when you have to take drugs. You just do. But you need to realize the only way you can beat fibromyalgia, reverse it, get your life back, feel good again, is to get healthy. And you have to do it in a way that your body can right itself so that it's able to do the homeostatic things that you and I don't have to think about on a daily basis. Okay, so bringing it all together, what's number five? What's number five in the magic potion, Dr. Murphy? Well, number five is, once you've got those four other things mastered, so you're sleeping good, you got your adrenal glands back on, you know that you're able to handle stress because you're repairing your adrenal glands, and you have more stamina stress, you have more energy, you're thinking clear, you feel better. Number three, you're taking the right vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and you're making the hormones you need to, you're feeling good. Number four, you've whittled down and gotten rid of any drugs that, number one, that aren't doing any good, and number two, drugs actually cause you to have more side effects. And number five, once you get to that point, now you got to say, how am I doing? So if you've made 50% improvement, hey, that's pretty good. Nothing wrong with that. I'd choose, if I was in the gutter and I couldn't get out of the gutter, that's how bad I was, and I was 50% better, now I was up on the sidewalk and I was actually able to walk down the sidewalk and make it home, that's pretty good. But if you want to go further than that, you've got to ask yourself, what else do I need to look at that may be a problem? And that's where detective work comes in. And it gets a little complicated. It does. Don't want to make it so that you get discouraged. But this is when you really want to work with somebody who knows what they're doing. But having said that, here's the common things I see. Number one, without a doubt, above all others, is low thyroid. Over and over again, I see hypothyroidism in my fibromyalgia patients. That is grossly, with a capital S, stupidly, and I don't know if that's a word, but it is tonight, missed because doctors are doing the wrong blood test, or they're interpreting the test the wrong way, or they are treating the patient based on blood work and not based on what the patient's telling them. Thyroid is the number one thing I see that's missed in my patients. And the reason that is because most of the time they're not looking for thyroid antibodies. Thyroid antibodies are the first warning sign, which, by the way, are silent warning signs. You don't hear them. Now, the patient has all the symptoms of low thyroid, but you're not going to find it in traditional blood work. You're not going to find it when you go to your family doctor or your OB or your general practitioner. Even your endocrinologist is not going to run thyroid antibodies or do some of the special testing that I talk about on my blog, on my website, in my book. You need to have that tested because if you have elevated thyroid antibodies, that means your body is attacking your thyroid. It's the beginning of thyroiditis, which is the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, an autoimmune disease. And the reason why doctors, and get this, because this blows me away. This is, patients ask me, well, why don't doctors test for it? Here's why they don't test for it. They don't want to appear stupid. Here's why. Because if they test for it and it shows elevated, here's what they tell you, and you may have heard this. Well, your antibodies are elevated, and you're in the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, but we're just going to watch it. I mean, does that make sense to you? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like having my 4-year-old and 7-year-old out in the front yard, and, you know, I've got this, you know, these cars are racing up and down the road in front of my house, and I'm just going to tell my kids, well, I'm just going to watch them, and I'm going to wait until they get run over. Now, once they get run over, then I'm going to treat them. That's what they're saying. They're saying, we're just going to watch it. And when your thyroid burns itself out, meaning it shuts down in a year, 5 years, 10 years, then we're going to put you on Synthoid, a levothyroxine, and we'll treat it then. But we don't have anything to treat it now, so we're just going to watch it. That is the mentality that you're dealing with. Fortunately, there's people out there who have some brain power and have figured out how to treat thyroiditis, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and elevated thyroid antibodies all naturally and correct it before it ever turns into full-blown hypothyroidism. Now, here's the thing about the beginning of it. You're going to have all the symptoms, whether your blood work, traditional blood work looks normal, but you're going to have all the symptoms. You're going to have fatigue, weight gain, hair loss, tingling in your hands and feet, cold hands and feet, hot sweat, anxiety, depression, constipation, irritable bowel, high cholesterol. Does that sound like anybody listening? It sounds like everybody's got fibromyalgia, right? So why not go ahead and test for it and maybe take a seminar, you know? There's books out there that are talking about it. Why not pick up a book and learn something outside your sphere of, you know, here comes the drug rep. What do you got for me this week? You know, if you're going to treat fibromyalgia, this is what the Titel doctors that I do seminars, continuing education seminars for. I tell them, if you're going to treat fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, you're going to never stop learning. You're going to have to be looking at everything out there and continually be gathering information and pushing the envelope and looking outside the box, because these people are so far outside the box that traditional blood work and traditional drug therapy, it's not going to work. You've got to think differently to be able to help them. If you're not willing to do that, you might as well just wave the white flag and give up. Now, what else can show up? Well, certainly things like yeast overgrowth. You see that from people who, especially with chronic fatigue syndrome, who have been sick year after year after year with chronic sinus infections, upper respiratory infections, maybe urinary tract infections, and they've taken antibiotics over and over again, and they develop a systemic yeast overgrowth where the yeast takes over the digestive system, start releasing poisons because they have leaky gut syndrome, and they start having many of the symptoms that you would associate with fibromyalgia: fibro fog, achy, diffuse muscle pain, fatigue, problems with IBS, you know, depression, anxiety, chemical sensitivities, food allergy symptoms. Yeast certainly shows up. I don't think it's as prevalent, nor does it make as big a difference in correcting that as many other things. Certainly not the 4 or 5 things I've mentioned over the last few months. But if the person's not getting better, or if you're not getting better, then you've got to explore that. Is that a possibility? And so I have a whole chapter about that in my book. Another thing that may need to be explored, do you have food allergies? Food allergies are the great masquerader that can cause any symptom known to mankind, anything. But if you're not getting better, then you got to look at, could it be a food allergy? Because food allergies can cause a release of kinins and interleukins and leukotrienes and other things that create pain in joints and muscle, as well as headaches and fibro fog and other things. So you got to look at that. To put it all together, once you've done the first 4 steps, then you've got to do a little bit of detective work. And fortunately, there's plenty of information out there to help you do that, whether that's my book, my blog, my teleconferences that are available. There's, you know, probably two or three years worth of teleconferences online now of mine that you can, my videos at drmvideos.com. There's other doctors who have books and websites out there that can help you. I'm certainly not the only person that has the answer. But you've got to be proactive. I'm in the mentality of this year, and I'm going to close with this. But my mentality this year is I want to work with people who want to be proactive and get well from fibro. I've listened for the last 18 years to a certain faction of those with fibro say that once you have fibro, you're just doomed forever and you never can feel good. And how dare someone even bring up the fact that you could help anybody with fibro, because if you could, everybody would know about it and everybody would be well. And, you know, you've got whole support groups poisoned by this mentality that has filtered out to the public so they have an idea, oh, I've got fibromyalgia, I never can feel good again. That's a bunch of hogwash. And I've really tried to be diplomatic about my blogs and my teleconferences and even the seminars that I go give to support groups, although I don't do a lot of seminars anymore to support groups, because so many people so many of those support groups are filled with doom and gloom. I just can't be around that energy. So this year you're going to see a different tone in my writings, my fifth edition book, which is going to be out this spring. It's going to be targeted at the people who want to get well and are willing to do whatever it takes to get well, because they realize that what they've heard is not the truth. The truth is that fibromyalgia, while it is a beast and while it is a terrible thing, and it's one of the worst illnesses you can get, no doubt about it. I mean, it is, nobody would want to ever have fibromyalgia CFS. But that doesn't mean you can't overcome it. And if anybody doubts that, all they've got to do is listen to the testimonials that I've got from patients all over the world that have reversed their fibromyalgia. And that's not to toot my own horn. What I'm tooting is, don't let anyone get you down, and don't let yourself get down because you've tried to do it. You've taken a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you've gone to this doctor and you've gone to that doctor. Don't let that discourage you. My goal is I'm seeking out people who want to work with me in a health coaching program. If that's a good fit for you, that's who I'm targeting. That's who I want to work with. And my goal is to help as many of those people as I can. In the process, I know I'm going to alienate a lot of people on my $8,000 fan page and my 50,000 or so opt-in to get my newsletter. And I know I'm going to alienate a lot of people. I've never been from those people. But someone has got to stand up and say, hey, don't let another year go by and be in the same boat. If you keep doing the same thing, looking for a drug to solve this problem, you're going to be in the same boat a year from now. You've got to realize that the drug therapy approach doesn't work for fibromyalgia. And I'm not anti-drug. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm not anti-traditional medicine. But in this case, from doing this 18 years, I know from experience and owning a very large medical practice where I had five medical doctors working for me, and we could use any drug we wanted to, and we did, until I came to the conclusion that drugs were a dead end for fibromyalgia. You've got to change course. So I welcome any feedback over the next weeks and months as you're getting these blogs and these teleconferences. I welcome your feedback. I'm looking for people who want to come together as a community and be optimistic and share information. We're all in this together, and I want to have it in a light of hey, you know what? I feel terrible today, but it's not going to be forever. So don't let anybody suck the life out of you by telling you that you can't overcome this illness. You can't. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, and author of the FibroDoctor.com blog. Thank you for joining me tonight. I look forward to our interactions in the near future. God bless.